Well, as the crow flies, we have not traveled that far here in day two of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. Mere 17 miles, I believe, a little closer to Lake Michigan, but here we are at Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park, Illinois. Second day of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. We are here broadcasting live, and this is part of what we do here on Issues Etc. Visit congregations that have supported us around the nation. Day two is today. Day three tomorrow will be up near Milwaukee at Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Now, today we've got a lot of things to do, a very busy hour. If you were listening yesterday, we've got a treat for you to repeat in about 25 minutes our interview that we did yesterday with Dr. Robert Schuller of the Hour of Power and founder of the Crystal Cathedral. We'll be running that hour. Yesterday you heard it without really a response from you, without a chance to respond. Well, today, an hour of open lines will follow that Robert Schuller interview. That's coming up here in about a half hour on the program. Then, in the third hour, a roundtable, and we're going to be discussing, as we did yesterday, a roundtable on God the Son. Yesterday was God the Father. Today, local pastors join us here from the Chicago area to talk about God the Son. But first, here in the first 25 minutes of the program, actually for about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Congressman Jerry Costello. He is Congressman for the 12th Congressional District in Illinois. He has a 100% pro-life voting record, and he is a Democrat. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party and abortion. Congressman Costello, welcome to Issues Etc. Congressman Costello, are you there? We'll get Congressman Costello back here on the air in just a moment. Coming up here in about 25 minutes, Congressman Costello?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Thank you very much for joining us on Issues Etc.
Jeff, I'm happy to join you. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that in about 5 to 7 minutes, we're going to be called to the floor of the House for a vote. I hope that doesn't happen, but I just wanted to alert you ahead of time.
Thank you very much. Now, the name, I'm Todd, by the way.
Okay,
and thank
Todd.
You for joining us. We won't take any more of your time. If you get the call to the floor, just let us know and we'll let you go. How difficult is it being a Democratic congressman with a 100% pro-life voting record in to be quite frank, a party that has at least the reputation of being very pro-choice?
Well, there's no question that the majority of the members of the Democratic caucus, both in Congress and in many of our state legislators, are in Illinois pro-choice. I am pro-life. I have been pro-life, and I will continue to be pro-life, not only as a member of Congress, but in my personal views as well. It's not that difficult because, quite frankly, people, when they get to know you and work with you, they respect your opinion and they respect where you're coming from. So, there are more people, I believe, Democrats, that are viewing this issue differently than they have in the past.
Very recently, you voted against a bill that would further fund embryonic stem cell research. Why did you vote against that bill?
Well, because I believe that the science does not justify taking embryos to do stem cell research. I think that the science indicates that there is evidence that for adult research that the stem cells have proven to be effective, but not with embryos. So I have voted against it. You know, I can tell you that there are some positive things happening in Congress on the Democratic side of the aisle with the issue of attempting to reduce abortions. Several of my colleagues and I, Democrats for Life, have introduced legislation that we call the 95-10 Initiative, and it's a comprehensive package that is designed to end the decisive debate on abortion by reducing the number of abortions by 95% in the next 10 years. It's a very detailed, comprehensive package to empower women, to defend women, and to protect our children. And I think if the package is implemented someday, that it would go a long way to accomplishing the goal of reducing abortion by 95% within a 10-year period.
Congressman Costello, you mentioned Democrats for Life. Kristen Day, the president of that organization, is a regular guest on this program. One of the things that she often says, and I tend to agree with her, and that is that the core values of the Democratic Party in many of their policy positions are congruous with a pro-life position rather than a pro-choice position. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Kristen is right, and I've discussed that issue with her as well, and I would agree with her. And as I said, I think there are more people, Democrats included, that are giving more thought to the number of abortions that are performed in the United States today, and I think they are more open-minded to proposals like we have introduced in the Congress, the 95-10 initiative, and we are beginning to try and promote that legislation with both Democrats and Republicans in the House, and we're going to continue to reach out to build support for the initiative.
Congressman, is there a glass ceiling in the Democratic Party at the national level for pro-life lawmakers, pro-life candidates? It seems so often that those who start at the grassroots as pro-life Democrats, we can think of many, former President Bill Clinton, former Vice President Al Gore, and others, Dick Gephardt from Missouri, when they enter national leadership in the party, often flip-flop on that issue. Is there a glass ceiling of funding and things like that for pro-life Democrats?
Well, you know, I think that it's not only an issue of life, but there are other issues where you talk about a glass ceiling in both parties. You know, oftentimes if you intend to run as a Democrat and get for president of the United States and to get through the convention process and win the nomination, you are attempting oftentimes to have to appeal to the liberals within the party, and generally speaking, that those liberals are pro-choice and have other views different than a moderate candidate. And the same is true in the Republican primaries. For a Republican to win the nomination and get through the convention process, they have to present very conservative views or have positions on on various issues, and they have to be conservative. So in that respect, it is true. I mean, to win the nomination in the Democratic Party, you have to be have more liberal views than conservative views, and the same thing, the reverse is true in the Republican Party, is that Republicans rarely nominate a moderate, and Democrats rarely nominate a conservative.
Do you think that is written in stone with regard to the pro-life issue for the Democratic Party? In other words, could there in the near future, how plausible is it that there could be a pro-life Democrat as a candidate for president?
I think it is plausible, and as I said, you know, I have, in my time here in the United States Congress, I have seen in the last year or so more of a movement of tolerance and inclusiveness in the Democratic Party for a pro-life Democrat than in the past, and I can give you an example of that. Nancy Pelosi, who is the minority leader, Democratic leader in the U.S. House of Representatives, came out openly and encouraged former Congressman Tim Romer from Indiana, a pro-life Democrat, encouraged him to become the chairman of the Democratic National Committee and spoke openly in favor of him, who is a pro-life Democrat. I don't think that would have happened maybe 2 or 4 or 6 years ago in the past, but there is more tolerance and more of an understanding that people in the United States today, be they in Illinois or other states, that they are looking at issues, not only the abortion issue, but other issues well, that there are more moderates today in this country and in the mainstream than there are liberals or ultra-conservatives.
Congressman Costello, what role does your religious faith play in your pro-life stance?
Well, you know, I've been asked that many times. I'm a Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school and high school and 2 years of college, and I have to tell you that it had a great deal of influence over me concerning my views on life as well as my views on a lot of other issues. So when people say to me, well, the reason that you're pro-life is because you're a Catholic, I say to them that that is not the case, but I have to tell you that the way that I was raised in my family and in my religion, it has had an effect on my views not only on life, but every other aspect of life as well. So it's played a role, and hopefully it is will continue to play a role for the rest of my life, and it's something that I'm proud of.
Congressman, finally, we're sitting here in the Chicago area broadcasting this program on our Reformation tour. I am a resident of Illinois downstate, Waterloo, Illinois, in fact. I think it's part of your district. And I would very much like to see a pro-life Democrat run for Senate in the state of Illinois. Is that in your future?
Well, Todd, I appreciate that, and as a matter of fact, you might be interested to know that I had some constituents in from Waterloo today from Monroe County.
No kidding.
Yes, but let me say that I very much enjoy what I'm doing in the U.S. House. I believe that the Founding Fathers had it right, that in the U.S. House, members of Congress are closer to the people than and that's why we call it the People's House than the United States Senate. The Senate is, senators represent states, members of the House represent the people, and I enjoy my role being close to the people and responding to people as opposed to representing the entire state. And you never say never, but I have been encouraged by others in the past to run for the Senate. I have declined, and I really do not have an interest in running for the Senate any time in the future, but I always appreciate the encouragement. But I am perfectly happy doing what I'm doing, and we have a lot to accomplish before I'll be satisfied to move on to something else.
One last quick question. How big of an issue do you think abortion and the other life issues will be in the next presidential election?
Well, I think it will be an issue. How much of an issue will depend on what's going on at the time, both internationally and here at home. You know, we have a lot of issues, Todd, that are confronting us, and not only that issue, which is a very important issue, but we have other issues that affect people, and it's on their minds every day, and that is we have a budget deficit that is larger than it has been in modern history, a trade deficit that is the largest ever in the history of this country. We have a war going on in Iraq that is costing the American taxpayers $5 billion a month, not to even speak of the loss of life and the number of soldiers being wounded. So we have a lot of issues at the forefront, and it will depend on how many of those issues are still around in the next presidential election. But I'll tell you that I intend to make certain that pro-life Democrats have a voice and have a seat at the table when it comes to the platform of the Democratic Party and at the next convention.
Congressman Jerry Costello of the 12th Congressional District in Illinois. Congressman, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc. We appreciate your time, and by all means, keep up the good work.
Todd, thank you very much. I enjoyed being with you and would love to join you sometime again in the future.
Congressman Jerry Costello. Now, we've got open lines for about another 10 minutes here on the program. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be replaying our interview yesterday with Dr. Robert Schuller of the Hour of Power and founder of the Crystal Cathedral. That followed by, well, that interview is about 25 minutes long, so that'll take us up until the 4 o'clock hour. The entire 4 o'clock hour is for your reaction to everything here in the first hour, but especially to that Robert Schuller interview. If you didn't hear it yesterday, stay tuned for about the next 10 minutes, and you will be hearing it again. But until then, the issue of the Democratic Party and abortion is one that I think is perhaps one of the, what could we say? One of the myths of American politics today. I believe this myth for quite some time, that Democrat meant pro-choice in each and every case. Now, a case can be made that the Democratic Party has a platform that is solidly pro-choice. There's no doubt about it. But then you run across people like Congressman Jerry Costello, who has a 100% pro-life voting record, and he's not alone. We've heard many times on this program from the likes of Kristen Day for Democrats for Life and others. I've asked the question of our audience before. I'll ask it again today, and I'd like your answer to it. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. You're a Democrat and you're pro-life. What kind of qualms do you have about crossing lines in order to vote pro-life rather than with your party. And if the tables were turned and it were the choice for Republicans between a less than stellar pro-life record in a Republican candidate and someone like Congressman Jerry Costello, let's say running for Senate for a national audience who has a 100% pro-life voting record, would you cross lines on that issue? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're broadcasting live this Wednesday, June the 8th, from Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park, Illinois, day two of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. And we do have an audience mic here as well. I know that there are people who probably have opinions. In fact, I'm positive there are people who have opinions on this. Feel free to disagree and to answer the questions as well. This microphone right here in front of me is for you. Don't be shy. Feel free to approach it. Now, the question has to do with abortion and the political parties. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then in about 10 minutes, our Robert Shuler interview followed by an hour of open lines. In the third hour of the program, our pastors roundtable, some Chicago area pastors join us. We'll be talking to them. This is part two of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour roundtable series on God the Son, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'd love to hear from our Illinois listeners. I know that there are many of them. If Congressman Jerry Costello, with a 100% pro-life voting record, ran for U.S. Senate, he said he has no plans to, but of course that's the answer they always give. If he ran for U.S. Senate in Illinois, would you vote for him? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I called this one of the great myths of politics. It's also, I think, in the Christian community, one of the great misunderstandings of how our theology and our politics coincide. This is my suspicion, and I'll use my own personal experience as kind of the touchstone. On issues where God's Word speaks clearly, like abortion or embryonic stem cell research, on those life issues, Christians really ought to assert, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says, and this is how we ought to act and think and vote. But sometimes, and this is how it was for me for so long, my political positions as a Christian got terribly confused with simply opinions I held as a citizen. And even though I had no thus saith the Lord on the issue, I let things like tax policy and foreign policy and war policy override, in the way I voted, in the way I thought, in the way I argued, override things where God's Word did clearly speak. I want to hear from you on this as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Tim, calling from his car. Tim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. I just wanted to say that I've always been a lifelong Democrat, and I've always been pro-life, and my whole family has been pro-life. I was raised as a Catholic. I consider myself a born-again Christian now and really don't agree with the Catholic Church. But I find, too, I'm also in a union, and I find that most Democrats don't like the Democrats' platform on homosexual and on abortion. I really don't think most Democrats like it, and I think that we all hold our noses and vote for the Democrats because we feel that possibly that they're more of a compassionate party still than what the Republicans are, that they serve, you know, big business, you know, over labor. And, so that's why Democrats, a lot of us don't like voting for Democrats that don't support life, okay?
Tim, you say there that you hold your nose. Have you ever crossed the party line on the issue of life to vote Republican rather than Democrat?
I voted for Larry Rice when he ran for governor. Again, because I couldn't bring myself to. I feel that the Republican Party uses the Christian groups. Okay, I think if you took out the Christian groups, you'd find that a whole bunch of the Republicans aren't really Christians. You know, I think that it's a weird conglomeration of people, just like the Democratic Party. And I feel that the Republican Party doesn't speak any more for Christians than the Democrats necessarily would.
Tim, thank you very much for the call. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And here at our audience mic at Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park, Illinois. State your name and what's your question or comment?
I'm Harry Matson from Arlington Heights, Illinois. And with regard to the question of whether I'd vote for Costello as a candidate for the U.S. Senate against a Republican candidate, and I have been a Republican for many years. That would be an unknown quantity, but I do want to say that when we had a gubernatorial contest in Illinois with George Ryan, a Republican running, I voted against him very thoroughly for corruption issues. I don't consider that as important as life. So I'll have to see the candidate before I decide, but that's my level of commitment.
So in other words, there was an overriding issue for you to vote against. He was incumbent at the time, I assume?
Yes, he was.
An incumbent Republican governor here in Illinois, and that had to do with party corruption and the corruption of his office.
Indeed. Since born out, of course, thoroughly.
All right. While you're there, in the last gubernatorial race, I believe, or maybe it was in the run-up leading to the race, there was another Ryan who had his own kind of personal corruption. He fell out of the race, of course, at this time. Would you have voted for him? He was pro-life as well.
I believe I would have, yes.
Harry, thank you. Thank you very much. The rest of you, 505-750-1800-730-2727. We've got a few minutes here. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to start our interview with Dr. Robert Schuller. We did this yesterday by the kind graces of WYLL here in Chicago. They allowed us to come in and record this interview with Dr. Schuller. Dr. Schuller was very generous in giving us about 24 minutes of his time. The interview was, and you'll hear this, was cut short by his publicist at the very end there. But there were some very interesting things said. You may not have heard this yesterday on the program. If you didn't, you'll want to stay tuned here in about 5 minutes. We're going to be starting that interview, and then we want your reaction to it. What you hear in Dr. Schuller's conversation with me, not only your interest in it, but what do you make of it? Do you agree or do you disagree? That's coming up here in about 5 minutes at the bottom of the hour. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is a prayer resource that is unique. It is the Lutheran Book of Prayer. What makes it unique? Well, it not only mines the history of the Christian Church in general for the very best Christian prayers, but also the Lutheran Reformation. One of the unsung legacies of the Lutheran Reformation is the legacy of Christian prayer. Luther was very adamant about prayer. He wrote a vast number of prayers, and you'll find many of them in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look there on the homepage for a Lutheran Book of Prayer, or to order the book, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When you call, mention Issues Etc. That's very important. And also ask for our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer. It's $8.99 plus shipping and handling, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. Now, we're going to listen to Robert Schuller when we come back from this break. We'll have a very brief introduction, and then I'm going to call for your questions and your comments in hour two of Issues Etc. This is an interesting conversation. You'll have to listen very carefully to how he reacts to questions about sin, what he believes man's real problem is, and what he believes the real solution is, and how he reacts to me when I talk about the cross and about the saving work of Jesus Christ. Robert Schuller is coming up right after this break. Stay tuned.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to this prayer from Martin Luther. Dear Lord, you know that I cannot come before you on account of my own self, my presumption, my worthiness. I would not even know how I might begin to pray. Nevertheless, I do come before you because you have commanded it, and you earnestly encourage that we should call upon you. That is but one part of but one prayer in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For this devotional resource, visit either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in the St. Louis area, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer. Or for more information on the book, visit our website, issuesetc.org. On the homepage, you'll find a Lutheran Book of Prayer.
Take one global minute and picture yourself as one of about 900 Christians in your own distinct ethnic group. So far, so good. Now, add to your picture 3.5 million people also in your ethnic group, all considered to be Hindus. Welcome to the world of the Bagdis of West Bengal. The number of Christians in this people group is so small, official reports say 100% of the Bagdis are Hindu. If you were one of the few Christians, would you want American Christians praying for you as you sought to spread the gospel of Christ to your neighbors? If so, please stop and take the time to pray for the few Christian Bagdis in West Bengal to lovingly and courageously spread God's glorious truth to their 3.5 million lost Bagdi neighbors. Grab your opportunity to participate in prayer for unreached people groups. Learn about them through missionvisionnetwork.org. It's a resource for you and your church. missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Watch baseball on TV, and you'll see the pitcher shake off a sign from the catcher. The catcher signals what kind of pitch he wants thrown, but the pitcher can shake his head no, shaking off the catcher. Last week, Chicago White Sox pitcher Orlando Hernandez, nicknamed El Duque, shook off a sign from his catcher, A.J. Pierzynski. Pierzynski looked toward the dugout, but manager Ozzie Guillen didn't want to get involved. Guillen later said, "First of all, I am not that smart. Secondly, I am not that good. I trust my catchers." Do you sometimes find it hard to admit you really don't know some things? Sure, I can easily admit I don't know how to do brain surgery, but what about those areas where we know just enough to what, be dangerous? Better to say we know just enough to deceive ourselves that we know more than we really do. Even if that doesn't get dangerous, our spouting easily frustrates people who do know their business. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men." Oh, El Duque and the White Sox won. Many gifts working for one purpose.
Bethlehem Lutheran Church and Preschool in Farron, Illinois is our AM 850 KFUO Church of the Week. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." And for 100 years, Bethlehem has been blessed with the opportunity to bring children to Jesus through baptism and continued education. Bethlehem will celebrate its 100th anniversary this Sunday in worship at 10 a.m. Please feel free to visit the church. It's located on Farron Road, just south of Highway 50 in southern Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Yesterday I had an opportunity to talk with Dr. Robert Schuller. He is, of course, the founder of the Crystal Cathedral and host of the Hour of Power. We had a very interesting conversation. I began that conversation by asking him about what possibility thinking is. And after this conversation, I want your questions and comments for an hour of open lines. First, we talked about possibility thinking.
It's what Jesus taught when he said faith, and that's what possibility thinking is. It's a contemporary word defining faith that Jesus taught.
So is would it be safe to say that possibility thinking and faith are synonymous?
Yeah, I think so. It is in my mind. And when you say that, both of those terms have enormously wide parameters.
You have written in your book, the latest one, "I now see that faith and assumption describe the same mental activity." How would you distinguish your teaching, especially with regard to faith, from those like Norman Vincent Peale, who popularized the power of positive thinking?
I don't think there's any difference at all. I think when Peale was talking about positive thinking, he was talking about a mental activity that the Bible describes one word, F-A-I-T-H, and we cannot change the systems of mental thinking that are options to human beings, and the Bible uses the word faith. Well, 2,000 years later, science comes along in psychology, and it doesn't want to use the biblical term, but it uses the term positive thinking, and so we we're using that term because we want the attention and the respect of the unbelieving people in the world. And we get it. And I came along and I moved from positive thinking to possibility thinking. In the wide parameter that we're talking about, it's a little different. Positive thinking talks about attitude. Attitude that it can happen. An attitude that it might be possible. An attitude that maybe I can. And an attitude that maybe I am a good person. And that's the, I move from positive thinking, which is attitude focused, possibility thinking, which is action focused. Now, how do I do it? Where do I go? When do I start? How can I get help? That's possibility thinking. That's why a lot of people that practice positive thinking don't succeed, because it's an attitude and they don't move on to the action arena. So carry on.
You have also written in your book, Dr. Schuller, about the fall of Adam and Eve, and you write, Adam and Eve blew it, and God watched them walk out of the garden in disgrace, losing their pride, their self-respect, their self-esteem. They walked out of the garden humiliated and dishonored, and as God watched them, God planned a tomorrow. What is man's basic problem? Scripture describes it in terms of sin. How would you describe it?
Well, you can't define the problem short of sin. But I don't use the word sin. I focus on the what sin is. I talk about the sin is a condition before it is an action. So I preach against the condition of sin, because children are born from the womb with in sin. And what does that mean? They haven't lied, killed, or done anything wrong. Sin is a condition before you do anything. What is that condition that we're born with? It's lack of faith. We don't have faith. We're born with fingers and toes and hair and eyes. We're not born with faith. And the child psychiatrists of the world, the secularists, and even the atheists, say that the first thing that has to happen is the child has to learn trust, faith. They're not born with it. When they suckle the mother's breast, they're feeding themselves. They're not demonstrating a bondness to a person. So, and it's because we're born without faith. Unless we're born again, we're continue to live in the condition called sin. To be born again is to become a believer, making a decision to have faith. And it's a decision, not a debate.
Why do you not use the word sin? You mentioned that before.
Oh, very simply because the human condition, when people are born without faith, they're born in sin. And if you use the word sin in our culture and in this age that we're living in, carries an enormous amount of shame with it. And if I say to a person, you're a sinner, I'm just heaping boatloads of shame upon you. Why can't I describe him as a sinner? Why can't I talk about sin without using that word? Because the word will turn them off. They'll run away. They'll do what Adam did. He ran out of the garden.
But no. if there is a real solution and real forgiveness for that sin in Jesus Christ, why should we be afraid to confront the sinner, as you have very openly said, with the fact that he is a sinner estranged from God? If the real answer is found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the real answer is if the guy is a sinner, you want to draw him close to you and close to Jesus. Look at and don't tell him he's a sinner, because he's going to he knows it deep down in his heart. So that's not good news. We have to preach the gospel, and he's not even going to get close enough to Jesus Christ to know about Christ or know about grace. By grace are you saved through faith. He doesn't experience grace. He doesn't know grace. So the point is, if we want to win lost souls and lost sinners, for gosh sakes, use the right words to attract them. Jesus did. He didn't go around every sermon he preached said, you're a sinner, you're going to hell.
Now,
he didn't do that. He wanted people to believe in him. When you get close to Christ, then you can probably begin to believe in salvation by grace. That's the problem. That's why lots of religions keep coming back to be saved by works, and they're not into grace.
So how do you deal with Paul, who is very unashamed about the way he uses the word sin? He's very specific about the sins he talks about. He even refers to himself in the present tense as the chief of sinners.
Sure, he can do that. He's born again. Christ is in his life. He's living in Christ. And if you're living in Christ, you can face it. But you can't face it. And he's talking to believers. He's not talking to atheists. He's not talking to pimps and prostitutes. That's the difference. You got to know who you're talking to. First of all, who am I talking to? Where are they? What kind of words should I use that would attract them instead of repel them? And I have to ask, are they ready for this? And I talk to more unreligious people around the world every Sunday. I speak in Russian and in Chinese, and I'm talking to people like people. I'm not talking to people that go to the local community church in a suburb of Chicago. I'm not talking to Willow Creek people. They're talking to some of the people I'm talking to because they're after seekers. I'm talking to the kind of people that aren't even seekers yet. And you have to know, who are they? Where are they at? What's going to attract them, or what's going to push them away?
We're speaking for the next few minutes with Dr. Robert Schuller. He is the founder of the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, host of The Hour of Power, and author of more than 30 books, including his latest book, Don't Throw Away Tomorrow, Living God's Dream for Your Life. You write early on in your book, and actually, Dr. Schuller, you quote from Romans chapter...
First of all, let me interrupt you and thank you for those probing questions. They were very, very good questions, and they're the questions that most born-again, Bible-believing, Christ-centered people don't ask.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schuller. I appreciate that compliment. You quote from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, early on in your book, all things work together for good for those who love God and keep his commandments. Perhaps here another probing question, Dr. Schuller. I look at my life in the light of those Ten Commandments found in Holy Scripture. And if I am honest, I must say I do not keep them the way those commandments require. God requires by those commandments that they be kept in by heart, soul, and mind.
No human being does.
So what do you say to me who is still, I still find myself on the wrong side of those commandments?
How to live a better life. How to get more fulfillment out of living. How to really get into the good life. I have a statue that we commissioned of Moses, and larger than life bronze in the courtyard of our property. So when people come there, the first thing they see is Moses. Both hands are upraised. And he's holding the tablets, and he's coming down. His shoes are off. Behind him is the bronze burning bush. And the title of that sculptured piece is God's Way to the Good Life. The Ten Commandments were not given to us to hold us back, to repress us, and to be a domineering mother or a strong-willed father. They're given to us, they're 10 secrets of living of the best possible life. If you think the Ten Commandments restrict you, I'll tell you what, break them and you'll be in trouble. You'll land behind bars for the rest of your life, probably.
But, Dr. Schuller, I look at those Ten Commandments, and if they are, in fact, a blueprint for a better life, and I measure myself against their perfect standard, my life is hardly better in light of those commandments. What is the answer for that?
Well, I don't agree with what I think you're asking at all. If you keep, because you have been indoctrinated, most of us have been indoctrinated, that the Ten Commandments are a negative boundary, and they are boundaries, but the important thing is they're given to us how to live a good life and how to live a better life, and how to live a still better life, but we haven't been trained to look at the Bible as a positive thinking person. Most Bible commentaries were written by devout, God-fearing Christians, but who hadn't been grown in their faith enough to move from negative thinking to positive thinking. My golly, I have a book out some years ago, God's Way to the Good Life. It's 300 pages. It's only on the Ten Commandments, and I'm telling you, if every day we looked at it, if I was to be, instead of coveting, it means I applaud them. Instead of coveting somebody because they've got more than I do, what is the positive teaching? Stop thinking of all the Ten Commandments with a no answer and start seeing into those the depth of what they are. Motivation to do more, to be better, to be more generous, to be more reverent, to be more respectful. Wow! You can never stop. And any time you think that way, you will do a little something and your life will be better.
Dr. Schuller, two final questions on that particular subject, and then I have just a couple more, and I thank you for your generosity with your time here.
Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you very well, very well.
Are you hearing me at the depth that I'm coming from?
Oh, yes. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I took the opportunity to read your book very carefully before our interview, so nothing you say here is really coming as any surprise. Do you believe, Dr. Schuller, that those Ten Commandments, that God through them requires perfect obedience?
Well, I think that's the standard, but the standard is delivered to us by a God who loves us anyway.
Do you keep those Ten Commandments, Dr. Schuller?
Oh, I think I basically live by them, yes. But I don't, that's from the negative standpoint, I think so. I don't think but not perfectly. I'm sure there are times when I haven't told the truth. And somebody's sloppy or overweight, obese, and they eat all the wrong food. And it's hard for me to be honest with them and say, see yourself as you are. Look at the mirror, you know. If people ask me for my frank opinion, there are times when the frank opinion, they're not ready for the frank opinion. If I give a frank opinion, it would hurt, not help. And so on the surface, it would appear that I'm lying, but the truth is I'm above lying, and well, I'm lying because I'm dominated by grace.
I want to make sure that I do hear you at the depth that you're talking, Dr. Schuller. So one last question on that subject. Is it fair to say that if I find myself running afoul of those Ten Commandments and the perfect standard that they present from God, have I heard you correctly in saying that the solution to that is to go deeper into those commandments and draw from them motivation to try harder?
Not try harder, to do better, to be more sensitive, listen to people.
Where does the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ fit into that dilemma for the person who runs afoul of the commandment?
Well, all you have to do is look at the life of Jesus, look at the teachings of Jesus, look at the faith of Jesus. And it's more than just not. What attracts us to Christ? We're not attracted to him because, number one, he didn't steal. Number two, he doesn't tell lies. And number three, he doesn't covet. And number four, you know, that doesn't attract me to Jesus. It doesn't attract you to him. Nobody is attracted to Jesus, really, until they see him come to me and he says, I love you. But I know, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. Let me give you a hug. It is his love that attracts me.
Dr. Schuller, how
private? Isn't that great?
Well, I have to beg to differ, and if you would permit me just to a few more questions.
Why do you differ? Well, first of all, let's follow through.
Well, okay, let's pursue that then, Dr. Schuller. As I look into Scripture, what I find there is undoubtedly the indictment against myself and I think every person, that the perfect standard of the Ten Commandments has not, I have not kept it, not in heart, mind, and spirit, as Scripture requires. And therefore, my own sin, my own disobedience estranges me from God. And Jesus, being far more than merely an example of how to do it,
of course,
is in fact, in his perfect obedience all the way to the death on the cross, the atonement for my sin, the answer for my sin, taking the punishment from God for my sin, so that I now can stand before God assured of that.
I accept all of that, but you have not faced the most important challenge I've put before you.
And what is that?
And that is that you should be attracted to Christ because of the character he is, the person he is. And he is that character, he is that person, because he is the true incarnation of the eternal God and a part of the Holy Trinity. And he did not come to this earth. And here's where you're missing something terribly important. So important. Why isn't the world rushing into Christianity? Why isn't it? Because we've all traditionally come from the negative approach, which is what you are verbalizing and where you have declared and committed yourself to stand. And I pray for you because you're wrong. We are attracted to Christ because he loves us. He didn't go to all of these people he met and said, you are a sinner, you're not keeping the Ten Commandments. You, with that approach, are not Christ motivated or guided. He always took the positive approach.
So even when he condemns the Pharisees as whitewashed sepulchres or reminds them that
yes,
if they do not believe in him,
yes,
they will die in their
sins. Yes, you know why he was condemning the kind of attitude that says, oh, I've got to keep all these commandments, and you're a sinner, and I come up and I've got to tell you what a sinner you are, and I fail as a preacher unless I get you so convicted. And he did not use that strategy with the people that had a reputation for being sinners. He used that strategy with a people who are holier than thou. And that's where Christianity is overwhelmingly.
Dr. Schuller, I thank you.
Holier than thou people, because we go on with that attitude. And we stand in pulpits and we tell them what a sinner there are and where they're going to hell tonight and how they're not perfect. And they'll never be perfect. That kind of strategy is not gospel preaching. It's a theology interpreted and delivered to the damage of the real evangelism.
Well, I would say, Dr. Schuller, that that kind of preaching, the preaching against sin, is in fact the preaching of the law, and that the gospel preaching is the preaching of Christ's perfect obedience to the law in my place at the cross. And there is good news. That is the good news that Paul preaches, Christ as my substitute.
Where do you start? You know, you have only one chance to make a first impression. You've had it. Don't start with a first impression, pointing the finger, coming from a position that you've got it, they don't. You're better than they are. You don't start that way.
Well,
you start with humility, and that's what I don't find in that strategy that you're promoting. I believe he lived the perfect life. I believe he died on the cross to save us of our sins. Because he paid the penalty of sin. And what is the penalty of sin? Did he save us from? I'll tell you the answer, and you probably won't get it until you go back and read some of my stuff. It's why I've been criticized. It's why I'm through my life. Some people call me a liberal, New Age person, all of that stuff. They're totally wrong. They're thinking too shallow. They've got to get deep enough. What did Jesus save us from? If anything he had to save us from, he had to pay it full bore on the cross. And what did he save us from? He saved us from shame.
So it is.
And that's one approach. The other side, he saved us for glory. And that's what's killing the human family. We're ashamed of who we are. I may be an atheist. Take an atheist. An atheist will not admit he believes in God. And he won't say, I'm not sinning. Everybody does it. There's nothing wrong with it. So, but deep down in the heart, the human being is a lost soul already living at the edge of hell. Because he doesn't have the glory. He's not proud of who he is. In fact, if he goes to a church, he better not feel proud. That's terrible, too. Wait a minute. The opposite of pride is shame.
So is our basic problem, coming back to the question of our basic problem, is our basic problem then, I don't want to make it sound trivial, Dr. Schuller, but is it a lack of self-esteem, self-regard?
Of course it is. The lack of self-esteem is a lack of faith in myself. When I don't have faith in myself, who made me? The devil didn't make me. God made me. And I am born unfulfilled because I'm born without faith. And if you don't have faith in yourself, you're not going to dream beautiful dreams and build buildings and relationships. You'll go out in Las Vegas and hope you'll win it. That's the why do people commit adultery, for God's sake? They don't do it for just another sexual experience. They do it because something deep is missing in their life, a real relationship of love and beauty. And that's what I have in Jesus Christ.
Dr. Schuller, you have been very generous with your time. One final question before we let you go here on the program.
The book's entitled Don't Throw Away Tomorrow.
How prominent is the cross in your theology? It seems, to be quite honest with you, Dr. Schuller, that in reading much of your stuff, the cross and the resurrection function as primarily as symbols of Jesus overcoming negativity and suffering, the cross and the resurrection being, rather than the thing in themselves, symbols of something greater than themselves. Okay. Have I misread you?
No, but you didn't hear me. What I talked about for 3 minutes loudly, you didn't hear me. I said, the problem of the human being is born without faith. Because of that, he's not doing God's will. He's not living God's dream. And you can keep the law, but if you don't dream the dream and do it, you're missing the mark. I was raised on an Iowa farm. If you keep the farm totally clean of all weeds, there's never a weed in that farm. Never, never, never. Does the farm score 100%? No, it gets an F. It doesn't get it until it's producing corn or wheat or grass and delivered through milk from cows, the positive approach. Without the positive approach, we really get an F. And we were so hung up on the negative approach, the negative interpretation, the negative attitude, that we don't even think of God's dream. And so we live in shame. We don't live in what I call healthy, holy pride. Adam was proud in the Garden of Eden. When he was kicked out, his chevrons of power, and he walked in shame. And human beings, unredeemed, live in shame. And shame is a lack of godly glory that God wants us to be, because God's last word is, read it in the Bible, it's not so sure, and he crowned us. That's the last word. Hey, wait a minute. That's the last word.
We've got to go, sir.
Thank you very much. Dr. Robert Schuller, thank you for being our guest.
Okay, when we come back from this break, I want your questions and comments, your thoughts and reactions to our interview yesterday with Dr. Robert Schuller. You heard it yesterday. You heard it again today. Now is your opportunity to respond. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call. When we come back, the entire second hour of the program, your questions and comments. We're broadcasting live from Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park, Illinois, day two of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. Stay tuned. Your questions and comments when we come back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.